looking to get close side of Von. Lefondre away from Davis. 3-1 Reading. 3 points Reading.
Hello. Welcome to the Elm Park Royals podcast preview show supported by Phantom Bruco. I am Alex, your host today. It's filling in for Paul. And I've been joined, as always, by James Earnshaw. James, how are we today?
Yeah, good, thanks, Alex. Interesting that it's not Paul. You're an upgrade.
It was very close, I bet, for you saying, yeah, good, thanks, Paul, there at the start. But you avoided that trap, so well done. We managed last weekend, James, to stay up at Barnsley.
Mm.
Officially confirmed. Did you obviously managed to speak with Ruben after the game. Did Ruben's reaction after the game was... not necessarily one of celebration, I think, reading the quotes that you posted. But what was his kind of, I guess, thoughts of safety being confirmed now?
Yeah, it was weird. At the time, we were all trying to work it out and none of us seemed to confident enough that we were safe. And Ruben never mentioned that he thought we were safe. So we just kind of vibed off the fact that we weren't safe or that we were safe, but mathematically it was still catchable on goal difference or... you know, whatever the scenario was at the time. So he was pretty miffed, to be honest. He wanted the 3 points, thought they deserved the 3 points. And I guess when you go away and take the lead so late, then you kind of expect the 3 points. But looking at it sort of now that it's over, it was a cracking game of football to watch. And I think it would have been harsh on both teams to have lost it. To be honest, I think a draw was probably the right result. It was a good afternoon out in the sunshine and the wind. But yeah, he was a bit miffed. But looking at the videos on the coach home, I think he very much realised by the time they probably got out of Barnsley that they were safe, and he made the most of it on the way back to Berkshire.
Yeah, his beers on the bus seemed to go down quite nicely, didn't they? I think Mbengue managed to get him up dancing at one point.
Yeah.
I don't know about his dancing, I'll be honest. I think it probably shows his age a little bit, but
he's not paid. He's not paid to dance, so he can dance how he wants.
It's probably a good thing he's not paid to dance, I'll be honest.
Now, it was nice to see him with the emotion, to be fair. It's been so long since we had that outburst at Bristol Rovers away when he was pushed to the front and the limelight. But normally he's been sort of very insular and controlled. So it's nice to see him sort of visibly have the weight lifted off his shoulders and hopefully he can enjoy the next couple of games.
Well, one of the things he did say about the next couple of games is the fact that obviously the season's not over and the job's not done, which is quite refreshing. Obviously, we've so often in the past few years, we've always had like a goal of staying up in the championship, and often it's kind of that's been the mentality. And once we've got there, the form has just kind of collapsed off a cliff once that safety's come. So these two games obviously are a chance for Reading to go out and finish the season on a little bit of a high.
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, it's been mentioned a lot on social media. Obviously, everyone's still just terrified about what's, you know, possibly coming around the corner. I mean, everybody at the club and you know, none of us are aware of anything that could be coming. So it's, you know, mainly just fear and sort of suspense. But, you know, everybody at Reading is just on such tender hooks. And obviously, Ruben is as well. That he just wants to get as many points on the board as possible. So even if the EFL do conjure something up for out of nothing, then we've got enough to stay up anyway. But no, obviously be keen to see how the players sort of react on Saturday, what the performance levels are like, and see whether they have kind of checked out or if they're still sort of reading off the same hinge sheet as Ruben in terms of going for it.
I think in terms of the suspended points, we've just got we've got 2 points for if we miss a payment to a football creditor, and then three points if the match is suspended or interrupted, I think I can't remember the exact terms, but something along those lines, right?
Yeah.
So, you know, maybe if we're 6 points clear by the time we get to the Blackpool game, everybody can get on the pitch and have a party.
Celebratory.
I don't recommend that for what it's worth, like just in case. The EFL will probably find a way to take 6 points off us for that, so maybe not worth it.
Yeah, well, Burton seemed to try and be helping us with that in terms of encouraging us not to throw stuff on the pitch that might give the EFL an reason to get the game abandoned.
Yes, I did want to come on to this, is that obviously we're playing Burton on Saturday, and the main talking point so far before this Burton game seems to be that Inflatables Day has kind of been deflated before it's even kicked off, James, because Burton have told Reading and told Reading supporters, don't waste your money, don't waste your time, don't bring inflatables, they're not going to be allowed in. Well, it hasn't gone down very well.
No, it's more frustrating that they haven't, though, have they? Because it's come out via Reading. So obviously Reading have been... Well, it came out via 1871 when we were sort of let know. But there's nothing on Burton's website, and they haven't put any tweet out or anything, and nor have Reading to sort of discourage fans to. It's come obviously from the what the Burton police staff's police force saying that they won't be let in. But yeah, I mean, you know, we were all there at Luton a couple of years ago when they were trying to take them off fans at the gate, and I think I still probably counted a good 50 that were in the away end anyway. So yeah, I mean, if the police say it's not allowed, then obviously we can't encourage it. But people are going to make their own decision on that. And worst case, we can always bring them, I'm sure, to the Blackpool game and, you know, add to what's already a fiesta vibe.
Double Inflatables Day, am I right? That's maybe the way to look at it. I think people will end up bringing them anyway, let's be honest. Like, what's going to happen? You're going to take your inflatable and it's going to get taken off of you at the gate instead of you throwing it up in the crowd and it going anyway. So if you've got one, I would recommend taking it. James can't encourage it. He can't in such things. But, you know, I think the term that the Staffordshire police used earlier was they don't want to see any football-related offences, which I think is a little bit ridiculous because I'm not sure a beach ball on the pitch is going to, you know, it's not going to be causing any football-related offences anytime soon. So,
no, not unless we win 1-0 with a goal deflected off a tennis ball or a beach ball that ends up relegating Burton on the last day. But
that brings back high, good memories of Darren Bent scoring against Liverpool at Stadium of Light. But yeah, enough about inflatables. We obviously have got Burton on Saturday. They've got a, you know, very kind of not difficult run-in necessarily, but they've got a very big run-in coming up because they're just outside the relegation zone, James. We've played them on the final day before. This is obviously not the final day, but it's the final away game. So it's their final home game. And I think their form is pretty awful, in all honesty. Lost again on Tuesday night at home to Cheltenham, which has brought Cheltenham right up behind them in the table. And they've got two really big games now against us and then Fleetwood. How do you see Saturday going?
Yeah, Cheltenham have got a game in hand as well. So is it still in Burton's hands? I'm not even sure if it is. If Cheltenham
win all their games, if Cheltenham won all their games, I think Cheltenham would finish above them. So
it'll be tense, probably. I think it's key for Reading to get an early goal and to then begin to control proceedings a bit more. I'm not expecting it to be a pretty game of football. You know, they played Stevenage a couple of weeks ago, and I think it was like a 23% pass completion rate in the first half between those two. So I'm not expecting a scintillating game of football in the eye. But, you know, if we're having, you know, looking ahead to next season and wanting to build, it's a game we're going to go out and win. The players are capable of doing it. Can we make it three away games unbeaten? You know, long time probably since that happened. But, yeah, I mean, I think Reading have got to just not fall behind, although Cheltenham fell behind on Tuesday and still came back to win. So I guess the first goal isn't that crucial, but we just got to not get dragged into to making it a horrible long ball game. Because
the game we played at the SCL earlier this season was one of those, and it was one of the worst games this season. 0-0, probably one of the poorer performances we've had.
Yeah, we're a better team than Burton ultimately. Yeah, you know, that's a quote that could come back to bite me if we lose. But we are in terms of the way we play football. If we keep the ball down and actually play and pass it to our level, then we'll win. It's if we get sucked into to play in a game that we don't want to play, and then we have to try and beat them at their game, which they'll probably then beat us at because you know that's not how we play. So you know, it'll be an interesting one. It'd be quite nice to go to an away game without anything on it and just kind of see what happens. But no, I think we've got to be going out there to win if we got serious things about building for next season.
And with that, James, would you play? Obviously, we haven't heard from Ruben Salas this week. His presser is Friday afternoon, which is very kind of unhelpful from Reading. Thank you for that. But would you be playing the full strength team on Saturday, or would you plug any youngsters or put anyone on the bench in particular?
Nah, you got to go full strength. We've had a full week off, so they should all be ready and raring to go. You know, we've got to start looking at next season. We've got to start better next season than we've started in the last couple of seasons. And if that means starting that preparation early at the back end of this season, I mean, this year's the first time in years where we've had a bit more sort of leeway to start looking at things for next season. You know, we've got to play our best players and go out to win. And, you know, we can finish as high as like 13th. And with a deduction, that's one hell of a finish. If you think about where we were, you know, in November, for me, I'd be targeting a top half finish if we then add on the 6 points that we were, that we had taken off us. I think that's then a decent season overall to adapt to a new division with a new squad. So, you know, the away fans have been, I know it's got better, but still sort of a lack of wins in the last 12 to 18 months. So if you, a game that we, that's winnable, we'll go out and win it and give the fans something to cheer about after what's been a really depressing, horrible season. But, you know, the last few months have picked up and let's keep that good, positive vibe going.
Yeah, the lack of away wins has definitely been a thing over the last 18 months or so. Although I was kindly reminded by Eric, who rejoined us back in the UK in January, that he's since seen 3 away wins since he's been back, which, you know, really did put a bit of a kicker on the whole of the last year before that when we didn't win at all. So I'm glad he's back now because maybe we'll actually win another game on Saturday. So fingers crossed. Score prediction, James. I am going to say that we're going to not back to Burton, but I think we're going to be very comfortable, similar to the Bristol Rovers game. So I'm going to say 2-0 to Reading.
Oof. That's,
I can't go with Paul's 2-1. I'm going to have to go different, so I'm going to say 2-0.
What do I do? See, I'm now overthinking myself because I always go draw in the last few weeks. We've obviously done all right away from home. But, I don't know, 3-0 Reading? Do you reckon we could do it? I don't know. I reckon there's a few goals in here. If we could score early, I reckon there's a few goals to be had. I'm going
to
push it.
James, you meant to say 1-1 here and then just move on.
I'm supposed to. I'll say 1-1. But I don't know. I wouldn't be surprised to see Reading win. You know, but
that is hedging your bets, if ever I've heard it.
I'm going to 1-1. 1-1, that's it.
1-1. One of us is hopefully going to be correct at the very least.
Well, yeah, I'd take a point or three. So that's as long as it's not the other result, then it's fine.
I mean, if we lose, we lose. But ultimately, we're safe anyway, aren't we? So it's almost a friendly. But yeah, we'll obviously be back on Sunday to review the game. But before then, check out the second part of this podcast with Matt Lanzi, who has been speaking to Ed Walker, who is a Burton Albion fan, about their run-in.
Hello, everyone. Welcome back to part two of the Elm Park Rules preview podcast. It's time now to dive in to our opposition this weekend. We're off to the Pirelli Stadium to face Burton Albion, a team we've actually only ever faced 6 times in the past. This is going to be our 7th time. Faced them 5 times so far in the league, 1 time in the cup, winning 4, drawing 1, losing 1. An aggregate scoreline over that of 16 goals to Reading, 5 for Burton. And all I can ever remember when we play Burton Albion is Vito Minone and that awful goal that he conceded on our 500th game at the Medeski. But anyway, that's the history. Let's look at Burton. I'm trying to gear up and give some energy for Burton here. I've of course been joined by Burton Albion fan to look into Burton. That's Ed this week. How are you doing, Ed?
I will be delighted when we hit Sunday the 28th of April and this season is done.
It's yeah.
Best way to summarise it for you, Matt. Sorry, I'm pretty down at the minute for obvious reasons.
I can imagine. No, we've been there quite a few times over the past few years. And for those that are listening, we're actually recording this on the Wednesday, so this is following the 2-1 defeat, obviously last night to Cheltenham. So yeah, that just to set the scene. But Ed, let's have a look at Burton, obviously this season, currently sitting 20th, 2 points above the relegation zone at the moment. But when we last played you, as we kind of mentioned before, it seems like an eternity ago, 30th of September, I think you said it was. And it was a lovely 0-0 at the Medeski. Since then, quite a lot has happened. Obviously, you were old manager at the point was
Dino Marmaria.
There we go. He's obviously since left the club and Martin Patterson has come in. What's this season kind of been like? So have a bit of a summary around the season. I guess it might be categorised into a few different segments.
The season as a whole, truly forgettable, really. I think we're on through we've had a finite number of League One seasons. The very first time we came to League One went straight up to the Championship. That feels like a long time ago now. This is going to be our lowest ever finish in League One, the way it's going. Whether it's survival or whether it's relegation, it will be regardless. It's been a truly miserable campaign. Tone set very early on. similar to previous seasons, it was an incredibly slow start when it was up in the relegation zone, the bottom of the table at a very early period. The best period for this season was probably, I think, sort of around October, November time, where they went on a good little winning run. I think they won four, maybe five in a row. I can't recall the top of my head, but they climbed up into the top 10 of the table. So they were sat in a decent position. And really, that little period has kind of held them above water since, because it's just declined away. Dino Marmara's spell came to an end with a long losing run. That got ended against Stevenage in early December, if I recall correctly, followed by a month with an interim period, and then the new manager coming in, a brief first month of positivity, and it's just gone back to what was there before. This club has, not just this season, but really for the last 4 years, really, since Nigel Clough left the club as COVID started, they've just been on a period of decline where they have not been able to hire a manager or staff that can implement any kind of smart tactical football, implement any even decent basic styles of play, any decent patterns of play. And it's left them as a really atrocious side to watch that casuals are giving up on, loyalists of fans are giving up on. And three relegation battles in the last 4 years, we get very lucky if we get away with this one. I think it's probably ourselves, Cheltenham Town or Port Vale, for that final safety spot in 20th place. At the minute, we're in the position, even after the Cheltenham defeat, we looked at Cheltenham's schedule and still think the games they could all lose. Frankly, I think all three teams could lose the rest of the games. And if Burton stay up on 43 points, with the fact the other two are just worse, it's nothing to be proud of at all. It's a really forgetful campaign, and I really want to draw a line under it now and just pray that they realise how bad this is in the summer and sort it.
Mm-hmm. You kind of say, since obviously Clough's time, it's Nigel Clough, wasn't it?
Yeah,
it was Nigel. I can never. I should remember Brian Clough and everyone on the differentiation between the two. But obviously, since he's left, it's been, like you say, a bit of a mismatch of managers, really. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink was given a try, never really figured out. Obviously, switching manager in that kind of cycle of switching a manager almost every season, like Reading had been, to be honest, since 2017. Has that probably almost put the club in this state? And almost, you always say this when it comes to managerial appointments, but with this one with Martin Patterson, or potentially the one after, where do Burton kind of go from here, would you say, as a club? What's the objective as Burton?
The tricky thing is, us as fans don't have access to things behind the scenes. We don't know the exact situation behind the scenes, who's ultimately making these. We think it might be the chairman, Ben Robinson, who's making the final decisions. It could be someone on his board that's only advising him to make these decisions. But there's no doubt that really, since Nigel Clough has left, this club has been stuck in a sequence of hiring managers that play incredibly negative football that best has a short-term impact. Jimmy Floyd Hasselbaink and Dino Marmara both inherited incredibly difficult situations with Burton bottom of the table, looking desperate, pulled them out of it. But the quality of football remained poor to the state that it would just drag them back in again. They couldn't take that next step. Martin Patterson has inherited the club in a good position and is leaving it very precarious. And there's a chance he might well take them down, which would make it the worst job of the lot for them. I really hoped that with appointing Patterson, a complete newcomer, it was going to be a case of doing something fresh, trying to take influence from what Ipswich had done with Kieran McKenna, what Portsmouth had done with John Mussino, trying to find something new, try that. He's ultimately just the same as before. He just has this preference to playing incredibly negative formations, not maximising the best out of the players that he has at his disposal in attacking areas. And it's just more of the same. And we've just all become incredibly frustrated by the way they're going. I don't know if the club, the people at the top of this club, think there is a problem or don't think there is a problem, or we're stuck in a situation financially where they can't afford any kind of major staff overhaul and they have to go cheap with these players, these newcomers in the management game. If it is the latter and the money isn't there, white flag needs to come out now, quite frankly, because this is just unstoppable. It's an inevitable relegation down to League One that comes. And if it's not this season, it'll probably be next season instead, because League One next year terrifies me. They are strong sides coming up from League Two. The ones that come down to the Championship, I don't think are going to bother themselves with the second consecutive relegation. So if they do somehow pull this off and get 20th place, could come rock bottom next year if the staff level doesn't change. The quality of football has got to improve. It just simply has.
Let's have a look at the managerial appointment then, because I mean, it's an interesting one from a Reading perspective. So last week, obviously, we played Barnsley and Martin Patterson obviously came from, I think it was his time at Tampa Bay, which Neil Collins came from at Barnsley. Even though obviously Neil Collins has pulled Barnsley up to playoff spots, Barnsley fans not overly happy with Neil Collins. A couple of weeks back, they lost at Stevenage, and obviously all the fans turned against him at that point, chanting, "Your football is not very good," we'll say. Is it a similar sort of play style with Burton that Patterson has come in and tried to implement, would you say? And what's gone right, what's gone wrong, really, with him and his time?
I would say observation of Barnsley have is they're a little bit more chaotic. I think part of the problem for them is that they recognise the forwards they have, and the instinct is just almost to kind of go gung-ho on some occasions, a bit similar to what they were under Michael Duff last year. And it just leaves them incredibly exposed at times, and there's maybe not the right people in the right positions at the outside centre-backs, I'd maybe say. The difference with Martin Patterson here is that he's just become incredibly negative. Just this preference. The makeup of this team is generally wrong. I think there used to be a days under Clough where we had a very solid back four, a very balanced midfield, and a front line with a lot of talent. And over the last few years, this isn't just Patterson's thought, by the way, you can put it back to the previous managers before him. What you have now is a team that almost has to be played in a back five with very conservative wing backs, with a very unbalanced midfield and very limited forward options. And part of that is the makeup that has been inherited. The thing with Patterson is that he hasn't really had a window to work with. He came in towards the end of the January window when business had already been done. I think Joe Hugel, Ademola Oladipomi had already come in. They were already agreed deals. He didn't have a part to play in that, and he had a very small period at the end to react, knowing as well that we just lost our top scorer, Bezlabala, who'd been a very impactful free agent signing. He turned down the chance to play his final game against Cambridge and ended up signing to Wickham, which has left a bit of taste in people's mouths. If he wanted to leave the Wickham, he was on a short-term deal. If he wanted to leave the Wickham for more money, fine. It's the refusal to play that last game at Cambridge that people don't like. And that's a problem that we've had. So you lost the impactful forward in the team. Decision to loan out Cole Stockton, who'd not worked to Burton, gone down the Barrow where he's had an impact. They lost Josh Gordon down to Walsall. Josh Walker loaned down level to Gillingham. It's been a complete remake of that front line with very young, inexperienced, temporary forwards. The only experienced name in there is Mason Bennett, who, story of his whole career, you just can't trust to keep fit. It just doesn't happen for him. It's always been the case, sadly, with him. And I think maybe there is an argument to say that he kind of has what cards are in front of him and he has to play that way. But I also think at the same time, it could make more effort than he does. It's been 5-4-1 the last two games with four midfielders, a back five, a basically all centre-backs and a lone striker. And there are forwards in this team, and I don't think he gives them a chance. And I just think if we had a go, you pick up more points than you do now. I really struggle to understand why managers think playing negative is the way to go.
Yeah. I don't really want to use this comparison because obviously it was one of, well, a lot of Reading fans will think he's probably Reading's worst manager in possibly ever, quite some time for sure. It sounds very Paul Ince like for Reading last season, where we were setting up almost, well, sometimes it was 5-3-2, but often it was 5-3-1, and that five was a back five. It wasn't, you know, your back three with wing backs. It was and it was just lump it up, hope that Andy Carroll could get a knock on and pray. And that was pretty much it.
You really do find yourself looking at it thinking, is football this difficult? It really does confuse you sometimes. Because I know there's some professionals out there who are real sticklers are saying that we can't get an interfere with the game because we haven't played it. But there's some professionals in the coaching scene that really make you wonder if it's that hard. Because it just baffles you sometimes that people can line up the way they do and think that's going to get results.
Well, especially so when you think when he came in, he had that period, like say that first month when he came in, six games, he had three wins in that time. Some good wins as well. Peak of them, probably the last win against Leighton Orient, who were, you know, they've become a very solid outfit in League One this year, you could say. Losses to Derby and Lincoln in their understandable given their league position. But it started pretty well, I guess you could say. Some people say new manager bounce and all of this, all the cliches, etc. But three wins out of six, you can't really complain at that. But then since then, you've had the run of 12 games, one win, 5 points in that, and more, I guess, worryingly for Burton, in there you've got losses to Carlisle, draw to Cheltenham, obviously lost to Cheltenham last night, also lost to Port Vale, not beating the teams that are around you. What changed between that first six games and the following 12?
I think hindsight kind of helps with this. When you look back on that first month now, those wins over Charlton and Leighton Orient in particular were really smash and grab. Leighton Orient in particular. Leighton Orient had a lot of the ball. Charlton had a lot of ball, but they were ultimately just very passive. Didn't make a real effort to attack on goal, and Burton got two moments and capitalised. Leighton Orient dominated the first half. Burton came out, grabbed two moments, twitched it around 2-1 and hung in there to the end. The Bristol Rovers win is probably the only one I'd say that is genuinely good quality, fully deserving of the win. Even the recent Steamage win that we've had just last weekend, that was ridiculous, his smash and grab. Burton played 66 passes in the entire game to Steamage, playing 200-300 odd. And again, they capitalised on two moments, a red card to Dan Butler, probably the perfect player to get sent off from Burton's perspective because he was a nuisance down that left. Everything just fell beautifully their way. So even in the positive results, I think it's probably worth looking back and saying now, there were signs that they weren't really good value for it. And I would say if you're winning games by very narrow margins with fortune, you just can't keep doing that forever. Really, generally, the way they've been playing. I mean, Burton throughout the entire season have had an issue with taking shots. There's five or six fixtures this season where they haven't even had a shot on goal. Reading was one of the games, of course, back at the... It's not the Medeski anymore, is it? Select Car Leasing now. I'll always call it Medeski as well. But yeah, back at Reading was one where we didn't have a shot on goal, and there were numerous other fixtures the same. I haven't checked the stats for a while, but I think we're either second bottom or bottom to total shots this season. We just don't make an effort to put them off. And it's the negative tactics of these managers that is really contributing to that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I guess ultimately it reflects in the goals scored. I think the second lowest score is on 36 goals this season as well. There's problems to be fixed, I think, there is an understatement. And of course, culminated yesterday in the 2-1 loss against Cheltenham. And when you look at the final three games really for Burton this year, when you think of safety, you've got the teams you probably want to play in Cheltenham, obviously relegation candidates, obviously as well. Reading just above the relegation zone, obviously plethora of problems off field as well. And obviously Fleetwood on the last day. Going from, I guess, the high of winning against Stevenage to then the low of the Cheltenham loss last night. I actually watched that game last night. I made the decision to watch. I was watching it with a friend, and he kept telling me to put the Portsmouth game on as well. I was like, no, I got to 30 minutes and I felt very invested in the game at that point. And I thought, I want to see something. And then obviously I went and saw the Burton goal right at the end of the first half, which was, I think it was a looping header from memory, obviously into the Cheltenham goal. But
it was a throw-in into the box that somehow fell all the way to Steve Sednich and never got that far. It was a terrible
one.
Awful.
Well, we've had a few of them this year, long throw-ins. Seemingly, long throw-ins in League One seemingly is a good tactic because it just causes chaos in the defence. Seemingly, we do it and have reaped the rewards a few times this season. I think League One defences are just, Reading being one of them, because we've conceded a few, just struggled to deal with long throw-ins seemingly. But ultimately ended up losing that game. Like you say, I think there was, I think at halftime it was about 50% pass accuracy from both teams. I don't think either teams had broken 100 passes in that first half as well. It wasn't an advert for the beautiful game, we'll say, and leave it as that. But looking at the final two games, Reading at home, Fleetwood away. Again, games you'd want, but like we discussed before, Burton. Sorry, I'm mucking all of this up at the moment with names. Burton are on a run of 8 losses in a row at home. So you think that has to change really this weekend against Reading?
It's absolutely got to change this weekend. I'm going back to Easter Friday. We've got a 1-1 at Wigan. And I looked at it at that point. We got on to, I think that took us on to 40 points with Port Vale also winning that weekend, which left them just behind. And I looked and thought 7 points from these final games will get them over the line. 3 of them have come with Stevenage. If we go winless at home for the rest of the season, I think that was probably the killer. And I still think we're too dependent on other results at the minute. Got to win this on Saturday. Just have to. Everything is there. You guys are safe. You guys are done. Mm-hmm. I'm disappointed not letting you bring the inflatables in. You'll still bring them in anyway, because I know how this works. You guys will find a way.
The social media stern
that has. Our security team will not enforce that enough. I can promise you that. It's a regular frustration of Burton fans. You know, when Derby come to town, there's Derby fans at the home end every single time. Because ultimately, they just care about who's coming in, not actually who it is that's coming in, really. So it's there for Burton, as you say, as we've discussed just before we recorded this. They've got two essentially dead rubber opponents. We think Fleetwood will be relegated this weekend with the situation they're in, which leaves the final day with them having nothing to play for. Yourselves really have nothing serious to play for apart from position, because you are safe now. Mm-hmm. Whereas you look at Cheltenham, who have got to play Lincoln, who are going to playoffs, Peterborough, who are going to top for a two, technically still, or at least playoff position. And then Stevenage on the final day, who, have just lost their manager. So we'll see what happens with that.
That's
an intriguing final game, yeah. And Port Vale have got to go to Bolton, who, of course, are still trying to get top two. And then Cambridge on the final day, who may or may not still be mathematically in the conversation by then. So really, after the Cheltenham defeat, I think Cheltenham are the ones who are probably most fearful of now. Vale kind of feel like they've accepted their fate and faded away. So it's there for them. They've got the most favourable run in now. But the issue is, I have so little confidence in them at home. I really, really wish this was away from home. I carry more belief probably in that Fleetwood game in the minute than I do the Reading game, because it's not the Pirelli. I mean, the team is really matching the state of the pitch at the moment, which is a car crash, by the way. It's a horrendous pitch, as you probably would have seen on Tuesday watching the game. So yeah, I'm probably going to be watching this weekend's game more with an eye on what's happening with the Cheltenham and Port Vale games, and just seeing that they can keep the gap they currently got, really, because that's probably the best hope I have at the minute, that the other two just stay travelable.
Well, key players. Let's have a look at a few players that might play, obviously, a big part in the game at the weekend and hopefully Burton's survival bid. Obviously, you mentioned you lost Lubala in January. Big loss, obviously, at the time. I think it was 5 goals he was on, obviously, for Burton. Still actually joint top scorer. For Burton, and as we kind of said, that probably shows where some of the problems have been. But other standouts this season, you've got the likes of Joe Powell in midfield and Tom Hamer. Who would you really pick out from this team?
There's one man. Watch? It's very simple. It's Sam Hughes, our number 5, who plays at the back. He's the reigning player of the season. He won't win player of the season this year. Player of the season will go to our goalkeeper, Max Crocombe. That sums up the campaign perfectly. He's winning it. Max has been brilliant. It's the proper full season League One, coming up from Grimsby last year. We'd be down by now if it wasn't for him. And I mean, your goalkeeper winning player of the season, it really is a reflection of how things have gone. But I think key man right now has to be Sam Hughes, who's playing at the heart of defence at the minute with an injury to John Brayford. He's just an aerial monster in both boxes. He's the best defender in the team by far. His positioning is superb. We are a team that relies very heavily on set pieces, deep deliveries that are targeted at him, and he will head the ball back across and let the carnage ensue from there. So he needs an on day. And if he's not in the team, we panic, as has been the case. There's been little periods where he's been absent for the team over the last few years, and they've started shipping goals just because they miss him so much. He's integral, really. I'd say he's as integral as anyone in midfield or the front line. He contributes in both boxes. He's huge.
Mm-hmm. Well, Sam Hughes, number 5 centre back for Burton. Keep an eye out for him at the game, Reading fans. Let's look at the weekend then. Let's have a look at score predictions. They mean nothing at the end of the day. I've predicted so many Reading losses this season, and going away from home, it's hard to predict anything else really with Reading FC with their record over the past few seasons. But Ed, if you had to pin your hat on a scoreline, what are you going to go with this weekend?
1-0 Reading or 2-0 Reading? What do I go for here? Because that's what it will be. We've lost 8 in a row at home. I've said this before. I have zero confidence at all. I will care more about the other results than this one, because I don't believe this result's coming at all. The terrifying thing for us is you guys have Sam Smith. Now, before he came back to you, Sam Smith at Cambridge was our kryptonite. Just could not handle him at all. I think Cambridge scored 9 goals in 3 games and he got 5 of them in the meetings with Burton. So he's been one that's haunted us quite a bit in recent times. And I'm wary of Lewis Wing. Anytime I get to shooting position, I'm going to panic, because this is what Lewis Wing does. It's all there for Reading to win, really. As you can tell, I'm incredibly low on confidence. I just wish we could end this now and just keep it as it is and they could just hang in there. I'm just praying that they can put something together that makes it worthwhile, and that Cheltenham can lose again and Port Vale can lose again and we can keep the gap as it is and take it down the final day, at which point I will probably have no nails left if there are any to get anyway. So, yeah, I if you pin me to a prediction, I'll go 1-0 Reading just to continue the losing home run because confidence is rock bottom right now at the Pirelli.
Well, you have done what I have done for most of the season and tried to put all the stats out there when we normally go away from home to try and jinx the game. It probably fills Reading fans with dread that you've not won in 8 games and that obviously it's such a bad run because Sod's Law will say that will probably change this weekend.
But that's what you aim for, but it's not the case. I've looked at the Carlisle game, thought that was the moment to end it. I've looked at the Port Vale game, thought that was the one to end it. And the Cheltenham game, likewise, they just lose at home. It's... It's real shame. I don't know where to sort it. I'm just thankful that Stevenage game that basically keeps them in the fight for now, really, and just slog through these last two games and see what happens ultimately. I've no idea what comes now. It's sleepless nights.
Might be a bit of a cruel question to ask, but do you think you'll stay up this season?
I'm going to have to say no. I don't back this team to pick up the necessary points. That I believe points are probably more possible in that final Fleetwood game more than I do this weekend just because of how the way they looked at home. It's more the fact that Cheltenham in the driving seat. Yes, they've got difficult games, but I still think there's another twist to come in this relegation battle at the minute. Burton have held 20th for quite a period. There was a very brief period when he slipped into the bottom before Port Vale went back below them after losing heavily to Peterborough, and Burton went back above them goal difference because that's just how stupid this league is at the minute. It's League One is doing more to help Burton survive at the minute than Burton are. It's just a crazy division at the minute. And truthfully, if we do stay up, I'm going to be so ashamed. We really are not deserving of this year. If we could give a 5th relegation spot this year, I'd give it to them. That should not be really staying up the way they are. And I'd be quite fearful that if they were to lose, somehow do it this year, nothing would change and it would just be relegation again next year. So I'm going to have to sit here at the minute and say no and just get the season done and just get to the summer and get to the Euros and focus on England instead because I'd want to watch something more enjoyable than Burn at the moment. Just get to Euros. Gosh, I just want to get to that stage.
Looking to England internationally for a shining light, that might lend itself to where things are with Burton at the moment. But I mean, Ed, best of luck for the rest of the season. Hopefully, you know, you guys do stay up and we can see you again next year and have another chat about something a bit rosier, hopefully, for both clubs, really. But yeah, best of luck for the rest of the season. Thank you so much.
I really hope so, Matt. It's lovely to chat. And can I just say congratulations on the season you guys have had, because you guys have been through hell and back, I know, over the last 2 years. And to see official safety secured for you guys is an achievement that I don't think is getting enough media attention it deserves, really. In all this time where everyone's getting this talk about promotion and relegation's concerned, to see you guys go through the mill the way you guys have and the job Ruben Sellers and those players have done to keep your heads above water really does deserve an immense amount of credit. And I hope you enjoy Saturday and bring your inflatables because they will get in. We won't be able to enforce that. Bring them anyway. Just do it.
Well, there you go, Reading FC fans. Bring your inflatables. I'm sure you were anyway, because it's the last day and everything. Well, we're going to wrap it up there. Everyone, enjoy the game at the weekend. Hopefully it's nice weather and everything. And we can have a nice day in the sun with our inflatables. And just have a bit of a ball on the last away game of the season. If you have enjoyed this podcast, be sure to give it 5-star rating on your podcast of choice. Really does help us out with podcast rankings and everything. Be sure to obviously go and follow us on all of our socials, Instagram, Facebook, Twitter, for all of your latest EPR and Reading FC content. And until then, there's only one more of these to do. After this, I hope you have enjoyed this episode. I've been Matt Lansley, and this has been the Unparked Rules preview podcast. We'll catch you on the next one.